Okay. I had hoped that I'd get answers from on high before I answered this question, but I've given up, so I'm going to try to answer this question. This is a very long question that somebody submitted that I'm going to shorten. They actually attach the POMS provisions, the Program Operations Manual System for Social Security. New wave, a very critical question, which is the change to the POMS on requiring fee approval for attorney's fees associated with drafting special needs trusts. This, the first and foremost, I would say that the disability organizations and advocacy organizations think that the only way to address this is to get them to rescind this section and eliminate this. This is very similar to Granny Goes to Jail, if you remember that from, what was that, 1996? What year?
I don't know. I thought it was
1996.
And then it changed to Granny's attorney goes to jail if you gave information about transfers that they were fraudulent. Well, this Social Security fee approval is potentially subject to criminal and regulatory and civil penalties for not getting fee approval. And it's very, very ambiguous as to how far the scope is. And I want to just give you, if you're writing something down, it is very easy to start this, looking at this by just Googling GN space 03920.007. Let me give you that one more time. GN space 03920.007. So to wrap this up without making this a whole intensive session, nobody really knows what the scope is here yet. I know that David Lillisand had a presentation yesterday. There's the possibility of fee approvals, fee petitions. But at first it looked like it was just, you know, if you were representing somebody in front of Social Security. But, you know, they've said things like in the rules, in the POMS, it says that an attorney or non-attorney must obtain Social Security's authorization to charge or collect a fee for services provided in proceedings before Social Security, irrespective of whether the attorney was ever recognized by Social Security or didn't deal directly with Social Security or it was paid by a third party. So I think a lot of people are just holding their breath and saying, okay, we're not representing people in front of Social Security. But this is one of those rules that is just so off the wall, bizarre, that everybody from coast to coast is just scratching their heads going, okay, what do we do next? So if you're working with special needs trusts, just watch for this, because bottom line, it says, you know, that a fee has to be approved if somebody is going to apply for SSI. Well, we never know. So anyway, That's the answer to this question.
And I have a related question, much shorter. Please comment on fee approval requirement for SSI recipients when drafting SNTs. My comment is the Social Security Administration does a dismal job of processing those applications. That's why this is such a big issue. If they would just process them immediately and we get paid, it'd be no big deal. It'd be like getting fee approval in guardianship court, but it is not like that. I've done maybe a half dozen fee applications in my career in Social Security. The fastest they've gotten it done was about 4 months, and one of them took almost 2 years. I talked with a much more experienced Social Security attorney than I am last night, and he said now it's taking averages about 6 months, but that's only if you start reminding them after about 3 to 4 months. And you have to send them one reminder after another to get anything done.
So that's can't bill for.
That's why we're having this conversation. So my practice is I generally don't charge for what I do for Social Security work, because it's just not worth the trouble of trying to get the fees approved. Yeah, next question. For a married couple, is it better to prepare one deed with right of survivorship language or two deeds, that is, one from the husband to the wife or alternate beneficiaries, and then one from the wife to the husband or alternate beneficiaries on transfer on death deeds? I've done it both ways. The problem arises after the first death when the surviving spouse wants to revoke the deed and change beneficiaries. And there's a comment here that this may be a situation involving children of a prior marriage of the decedent. Also, a title company issues wanting all remainder men to sign the revocation. Okay, so this goes to in your appendices to my paper from yesterday, you have the transfer on death deed, and the transfer on death deed includes the right of survivorship provision, which of course is optional. So there's two ways of doing it. You can use that right of survivorship provision, or you can have each spouse sign a transfer on death deed to the other spouse as primary beneficiaries, and in each of them, the children are the remainder, or the alternate beneficiaries in the transfer on death deeds. And this question really tells us more than it asks. It tells us that there's a potential problem here, that there may be a perception that there's an agreement between the spouses, although it's not written anywhere, that the deeds are reciprocal.